Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes, indeed. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show on LifeConversationsRadio.com. And Michelle, okay, you told me, didn't you? Yeah, well, okay. Well, I mean, it is what it is. But yes, both and. How about that? And New Jay said, yeah, you did jump on your bandwagon. I do. You know, that's I got to go there. I got to get my soapbox. It's time for a conversation with a dear friend of mine, someone that I love so much. But before I read a little bit about her, let me tell you what's coming up in June. Well, one of the guests are coming up. Do you know Brother Ishmael Tete? Brother Ishmael Tete, your life, you're here. No, nature is my teacher. Yes, he's going to be joining us in June. And so stay tuned for that. The brother is powerful. He's going to be in America. He lives in Ghana. A wonderful spiritual teacher that reminds us of the lessons and the blessings of nature. He's going to be joining me on the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show in June. Actually, I think the date is June 1st. So we're going to move things around because I usually have the first Monday of the month to myself. But I don't mind sharing my Monday with Brother Ishmael Tete. All right. Let me tell you a little bit about my sister friend who is glowing and beaming, all charged up, ready to go. I'm going to ask her one question and she's gone. And then I ask another question and then she's gone. And by the time you're finished, you're healed. Barbara Berger. She's an American-born author. She has written 15 self-empowerment books, including an international bestseller, The Road to Power, Fast Food for the Soul. Are You Happy Now? 10 Ways to Live a Happy Life. And The Awakening Human Being, A Guide to the Power of Mind. Excuse me. In all her books, Barbara Berger explores the incredible power of mind and how to use the power wisely. Her message is very relevant for everyone in this time of great change because an understanding of how the mind works is the key to living a happy life right now, regardless, I gotta repeat that, regardless of outer events and circumstances. Barbara Berger has been a seeker and a guide for other seekers all her life. And all Barbara's books are based on her work, life work, which has always been to try to find a way out of suffering. And she knows how to do it. Not only does she do it through her book, she lives it. She said, I'm done with this shift. After leaving the U.S., that's right, she said, I ain't dealing with this. After leaving the U.S. in the mid-60s in protest against the Vietnam War and settling in Scandinavia, Barbara continued her quest with a passionate interest in the science of mind, the nature of consciousness, metaphysics, and finally, traditional spirituality and psychology. She lives in Copenhagen, Denmark, and she continues to help people, support people to understand the power of their mind and live their best life. My sister, my friend, myself, Barbara, how are you doing?
Thank you. What a great warm up. I mean, I'm all fired up and ready to go now.
I'm such a universal lover. I'm ready to embrace you and allow you to do your thing. You know, I'm a universal lover.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me back. I've been here quite a few times, and every time we've just raise the energy until when we were done, we were both going through the roof, right?
Yes, indeed. I want to say something else, but I won't say it. Like, I just say like, ooh, where's the cigarette? it's a spiritual orgasm, a soulgasm, where you're like, that was great. And that's why you know, you pop in my consciousness. I'm like, yes, I'm ready to rendezvous with her. And it always
works.
I like that.
Soulgasm. That's a good one.
Oh, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. You just talk about forget. You're just like, life is good. It's getting better. Ooh, y'all don't understand. Just be, be grateful. Like, what's wrong with you? I can't even talk right now.
Well, that's why over here on our side of the ocean we're called the Beam Team, as you know, Beam Team, because we're here to beam you up, right?
That's right. Come on, baby, light my fire. Why don't you?
So you must be a lost member of the Beam Team, wandering over there on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean, right?
I am. I'm like one of those beings that say, let me go see what's over there. He said, come back. I'm like, I'm coming. Wait. And then before you know it, it's like, where did I start? Like, everywhere I go is my home. I'm not in the dark. So, yes, we need to all be. I really believe that different parts of the world is like spiritual centers. And we're all agents for the light. We are part of the Beam Team. We're here to beam our energy, our love.
Great.
And wherever we find ourselves is where we need to be.
Exactly. And now that we have this great technology, just think about it. We can touch base with each other. We can talk to each other. We can Skype with each other. I mean, we're more connected than ever before, also on the outer plane. I mean, before we were like all connected on the inner plane. We've always been. But even the outer plane is reflecting that more and more. So, I mean, the technology is just amazing what it's done for us.
It is. It truly is. And I see it as a reflection of our inner world. It's showing us that we are indeed connected. And so, you know, I would say the app in us is our consciousness. You know, when we tap into our consciousness, we connect to the network, the internet of all life, because we are all linked. And technology just is a reflection of that, right?
It's a reflection of it. It's amazing. I mean, just think about it. I mean, you know, I do private sessions with people, and before, you know, people had to like be in the vicinity. They had to come, and now it's like, I mean, I just did a session with a woman in China, and I got people in Canada, and I got people in India, and I can talk to everybody, and they can see me, and I can see them, and it's like,
yes.
Amazing. I mean, it's the ability to reach out and to touch people for someone like you and someone like me. It's amazing what we can do today compared to 10, 15, 20 years ago. It's just...
It is. And there's a deep connection. There's a deep love in the connection. Like, I've never met you, but I feel like I've met you. I feel like I've embraced you. I feel you. I know you. And it's like we're really recognizing that, yes, the body is important, but we don't get too caught up in it. I feel like you're my sister. I feel like I spoke to you last week. Yes, you are. Yes.
That's the real truth. I mean, that's the real truth, Ruth. It's, you know, it's like it's the resonance. It's the alignment. And someone like you and someone like me, the first time we met, it was like, click. It's right there. So, I mean, when you feel it, you know it. And that's actually what we're going to talk about. The inner compass tells you that. That was actually what was going on when we met. It's
that's
true.
Right.
It was the inner compass. It said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
That's it. You had me at hello. You had me at hello. When I heard you, I'm like, oh, Barbara.
Thank you. I'm all blushing and stuff now. And it's a good thing you can't see me. I'm all blushing and stuff.
Who told you I can't see you? We can all see you.
Okay. Well, you can see I'm all blushing and stuff.
Let's jump in. Let's
I just want to tell you, asked for feedback, and I was listening to your warm-up, and you said the most amazing thing. I wrote it down here because I want to remember it. You said, we got to remember the difference between smother and mother. That was like, I thought to myself, that man is just brilliant. I couldn't have summed it up better than that. I mean, it was just, did you figure that one out yourself? I mean, that was brilliant, man.
I mean, because that's
what, Don't smother, just mother. Amazing.
Yes, and I felt one point in my life my mother smothered me,
me too.
And I felt like she, now I can say she, because she loved me. I mean, she won't let, both of them really, my mom and my dad, but my mother would be like, no, you're too young to do this. You can't go on public transportation by yourself. You can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't, oh, Jesus. And then when I left Nigeria, moved to England, I was like, oh, I'm free. I can do whatever I want to do. And now sometimes I tell myself, oh, I don't think I want to do that. I think I franchise my mother now. I'm like, I don't think I want to do that. Nothing's stopping me but me.
Well, actually, that it really is also a perfect thing that leads into the inner compass, because any mother who smothers is a mother who has forgotten that her darling, blessed, beloved child has their own inner compass, has their own direct connection to our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and that we don't need mom. We've got our own connection. So any kind of smothering is just an indication of one has forgotten the nature of this thing called life. That each, I mean, we can love and support each other. We can be guides for when our children are small and so on. But to understand that every single human being on the planet has their own direct connection to the infinite, to the higher power, and that the fact that we haven't learned this from an early age, it makes us wander in the desert of existence looking for in the outer for all the answers that we actually have within ourselves. So,
I love that, how you put it, that a mother who's forgotten that her child has his own or her own inner compass will end up smothering. Okay. And which inspired another thought is, even in ourselves, when we've forgotten that we have the inner voice, the inner guide, that will end up smothering our own self in our own suffering.
True.
By saying, I don't know. I'm not good enough, I'm this. And rather than mother ourselves, rather than nurture ourselves and be compassionate with ourselves, we overwhelm ourselves by looking for false judgment, and we can't even think with it. As I said earlier, we feel like we're disconnected from everybody else. So it's important to recognize that there is an inner voice. There is an inner self. There's something that goes beyond the physical. Go ahead.
I mean, you could also say it really is from early childhood that we're indoctrinated or programmed, or whatever word you want to use, to believe, to think that it's our job to please everyone else. You know, that we were trained to have our antenna outward instead of inward. You know, either it's the mother, you know, I'll be happy if you do this, or it's the father, or it's the family, or it's the peer group, or it's the school, or it's the culture. But we're bombarded from day one into the belief that we, in order to live and be happy and survive and all this stuff, that we need to please other people. And and again, don't misunderstand me. It's not that we shouldn't treat other people with respect and that we shouldn't be polite, but other people cannot possibly know what's best for us because they're not inside of us. That knowingness that only you, I mean, you're in you, and you have your thoughts and emotions and feelings, and I'm in me. I mean, that's the way this universe is set up. We're even though we're all one human family, we're separate focal points, you could say, in the great universal mind. And each one of us is experiencing from our unique place, from our unique position, and therefore each one of us has, we're the only one who can possibly have access to what it feels like to be us. I mean, nobody else can walk in my shoes, and nobody else can walk in your shoes. Nobody else knows what the world looks like when you wake up in the morning inside you. And anyone who believes that they know what's best for you thinks that they're confused about that.
right. Because clearly, if they're not, if they're clear, they would say, well, only you know what your view looks like from within you. What does it look like? And I think, you know, because, as you say, we've been conditioned, programmed to look outward first, that I know I'm included, and there's still things, I'm still reviewing my world. I'm reviewing it because we often think what we see, how we feel, what we feel, our ideas, our truth about what we're looking at is not that relevant. it because it's just so natural. It seems so simple. But what I'm learning is the journey back to self, the journey back to healing is really simple. It's not complicated. It's the mind,
it's not complicated,
the human
mind. At all.
It is not. It is not.
No. But again, if you, the reason why I call it a compass, the inner compass, a compass, is because it's like, it's kind of like a compass, like this north-south thing, you know. When when the compass is saying north-south, that means you're in alignment, and the way that you know that you're in alignment is that you feel good. I mean, it's a feeling of the only thing that the compass, the inner compass, tells you is a feeling of comfort or discomfort. And when it's off the beam, then you feel discomfort. And we have a lot of different words. I mean, if comfort are all the emotions where we could say love, enthusiasm, passion, feeling good, happiness. Those are all the things that give us a feeling of comfort. And then discomfort is, you know, like any of the negative emotions like fear or shame or depression or sadness or irritation. Those are all the things that are really just, again, the universal signal is telling us you're off the beam, you're out of alignment with the true self, with the true purpose for you. And so this knowingness is actually, as you say, it's so very simple, because if you stop up at any moment in time and ask yourself, well, how do I actually feel about this? Does it feel good or not? And you always know. The inner compass is always working. The only question is, are we listening? That's the only question. The information is always available. And it's not like a, you know, yes, no, for everything. It's in every single moment, in every single situation. If you really start, I give clients this as an exercise when they come to me for coaching. That's one of the first exercises, to begin to come home to yourself and begin to notice how you really feel about whatever's going on. And the first thing that everybody notices is that they're so far away from being at home with themselves, that they're always out there thinking about what will other people think, or what do other people think is right to do here, or what do other people think I should do, or will this make him happy or her happy or whatever, that they've completely, almost completely lost touch with that basic inner knowing thing inside of us. It's just so amazing.
It is. And, you know, I love what you said, come home to yourself.
Yeah.
Come home to yourself.
Yeah.
And if we allow ourselves to just come home, what does that look like? Sometimes it's just as simple as just taking a conscious breath, just breathing in.
Exactly.
And come home to yourself. And in that space, I mean, I've been part of workshops that I facilitated, that I was a participant. And when that space is created, sometimes you just get to feel yourself in a different way. Sometimes tears come up, sometimes laughter comes up, and it's just coming back to self. And we realize we've been home all along while holding a map, looking at where is it? Which direction should I go? Is it right? But the universe is like, you're home. And you're like, excuse me, I'm lost. Oh, let me go to Waffle House. Can you tell me how to get to? And the universe, you're home. But all this external noise that, you know, home.
Isn't it amazing?
Yes.
And also that it's like you get, you're a wave of blessed relief washes over you the moment you withdraw from the outer and come home to yourself. It's like, that's also another kind of soul orgasm.
It is. Because sometimes after having a good time with life, you might want to go to sleep. Some people smoke a cigarette, some people go to sleep. So when you go to that, it's so restful. And your eyes are open.
It's like the blessed peace. It's within you. All the time. We're like frantic, like chickens without our head, running around in the outer looking for what's inside of us to begin with, and which has always been there. Isn't it amazing?
It is. And one of the things that I find interesting, it's working with clients, and sometimes when they get to that place, and they're like, I haven't felt like this in a long time. And then a few moments later, they'll say, okay, this feels good and it's great, but what am I going to do about the money? What am I going to do about my relationship? I understand. I know I can do this again, but I mean, come on. But what about the issue that I'm dealing with? We don't understand the power of that space that we talk about, that space where we're home, when we can feel a rest. You know, in the Bible, talks about the peace that passes all understanding.
Exactly.
Where you feel so peaceful. And when you're in that state, you will create differently. You will actually see your challenges, your financial challenges, your relationship. Mm. You'll see them differently. You'll think a different thought. You'll make a different choice. But too often we're like, yes, that feels good, but I still got to go back to work tomorrow. It's like, wait. Yeah. Stay with that for a minute.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, again, what you're saying also, and that's what the issues are for so many people, that the old patterns, the old way of has created so much momentum, and that they are so caught up in situations that they have created by, actually, if you usually go back to these unfortunate situations, they have ignored the messages from the inner compass from the beginning. There have been a lot of no's before that one didn't listen to. And then you sort of get more and more entangled in that web. But as you say, the only place that we can change or do something differently is now. There is only now.
Now.
And so however we do, whether it's a small step or a big change or whatever, but the first, the prerequisite is to get in alignment with yourself first. If you don't do that, you might as well just forget everything, because it will just be more of the same, because that's the level of consciousness that you're vibrating at. Mm. And that is what creating whatever is around you, whatever you're attracting, all of that. So to work on getting in alignment with you, it's just so amazing what happens.
Yes.
It really is.
People
are so afraid of, you know, like, well, what will my partner think, or what will my children think, or what will my parents think, or what will the school think, or what will the job think? And again, it's definitely true that everything we say and do has consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also each one of our individual right to live a happy life. Mm-hmm. And it's each one of our job. Nobody else can live your happy life for you. Like, for example, in my book, Are You Happy Now? Chapter 3 in that book, in case any of our listeners are interested in reading more about this, it's really about what we're talking about now, coming home to yourself and finding out who you really are and being in alignment with who you really are. Because you could say, living a happy life, if you're not in alignment with who you are, whose happy life are you living? I mean, are you living your husband's happy life, your wife's happy life, your mother's happy life? So again, living a happy life based on who you really are and what makes your heart sing. I mean, that's the goal that we all want. And it hasn't really got anything to do with the outer stuff. But the outer stuff will reflect back to us the satisfaction that we radiate from within. So we're all screwed up in the sense that we've got it backwards all the time. Like we think if we fix the outer, if we move all these things around and we get all these people to be the way we want them to, then we'll be happy. And happiness is an inside job.
Now, I want to do this. I want to kind of go a slight different direction, but still in alignment with what we're talking about. This, when we talk about, because, you know, I'm just in this place now. If someone comes to me and says, you know what, I want to wake up. I want to live a spiritual life. I want to just know who I am. First thing I'm going to tell them, whoa, slow down. Are you sure you want to do this? or you just you just really wake, because waking up means waking up. You get to get in contact with things about you that you've been denying, what you didn't know. You get to see life differently. You get to see more suffering in the world. Maybe you were just in your own world, in your own community. So you had this bubble. Now you want to pop that bubble. And yes, I would definitely encourage somebody to do it, but just wait a minute. Let me give you the small print up front. Now, when we talk about this, you know, living our own happy life, finding our own internal compass, I want to ask you, what happened for you? How did it happen for you that you were able to tune in to your inner compass and listen to that voice within. What busted your bubble, if you will? What busted your bubble that you said you have no choice but to listen in?
Do you have enough time to hear all that? Well, I just like to say that one thing before we get started on that track, that I've written a book called The Awakening Human Being. Mm-hmm. And one of the points that I make, which I think is really important in this discussion, is awakening, or waking up, as you say, is a process. It's not a one-time. I mean, there are some few souls on the planet who have this kind of, you know, they're going around in their stupor or whatever, and they get that transformative moment, that total. Sun Anselm Eckhart Tolle, he tells about. I mean, he was like, he was at the university and he was so fucked up. And then he had that moment of transformation, and then he sat on a park bench for like 3 years to integrate it. But most of us, I would say probably you and definitely me, it's been a process.
True.
It's a lifelong journey of events that trigger big shifts. And some events that trigger smaller shifts, but it's a continual growth and a continual evolution and becoming, again, awakening, being awake. It's really, you know, am I awake now in this moment? In other words, am I aware of what's going on now? Am I awake to what's happening? Am I aware that I'm conscious? It's a moment by moment thing.
Yes.
Because there is only the now. There is the past is just a thought in our minds, and the future is just a thought in our minds. So the only place we can be awake is now. And I would say that, you know, somebody asked me, are you awake, Barbara? And I usually say, well, I'm awake except for when I'm not. So it's you know what I'm saying? It's like yes and no, and yes and no. And because, again, if you think about your day, or if I think about my day, we do have a lot of time where we go into the sort of automatic unconscious mode still. I mean, haven't you ever, sometimes you drive in your car and then you think, oh my God, how did I get here, right? You're sort of on automatic. But I would say generally being present now.
Yes.
I have more and more moments of that.
Yes.
And then what you're talking about also in terms of awareness of, you added another thing to it, like about human suffering. And I would say the nature of reality, the nature of life, the nature of the human condition, the ability to see what is going on around you, and to understand that everyone is experiencing according to their level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these kind of awarenesses, they grow as we evolve. Our understanding of what happens in ourselves and in other people becomes more and more apparent as we understand these mechanisms.
Mm-hmm. So, Life is consciousness. You know, before you tell us about what broke you open, what busted your bubble, we're going to take a break. How did you find it? Like, how did you realize that you're part of the Beam team, even though you were trying to apply an audition to be part of it? And one day you realize, wait, I'm already part of the Beam team. I didn't even know. And most of us have forgotten. We're trying to put things on Instagram so we can qualify to be a Beam team. But we were in the Beam team even before we were born, but we forgot. So before you tell us about your story, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back to continue the conversation.
Okay.
You are listening. Yes, do that. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show on lifeconversationsradio.com, where we make spiritual truth enjoyable. Not only that, we make spiritual truth sexy. Because we can. We're not afraid. We're the Beam team. Forget the Ghostbusters. We'll bust all your fears, all your illusions, and we'll show you who you really are. I got backup, so I ain't afraid. I dare you to call in. I got Barbara on my side. Tim is probably listening somewhere. I got some other regular listeners who got my back. So if you want to challenge me, bring all that you got. I got you. 347. I know, I'm a mess. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And whatever mess you bring me, I'm going to get the message. And the message is going to be, oh, what is in you lives in me. So if I'm triggered, then I need to do some work. So I'm not afraid of what comes. Just bring it. You can also post your questions on the in the chat room. Yep, let's see. Mariana is in the house. Michelle is in the house. New Jace. Tam Tam, how are you doing? How are the animal beings doing? Silent listeners disguised as guests. Those of you listening on the phone line, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Those of you listening on the archive, we appreciate you. We are so grateful for you. And those of you we don't see, because for whatever reason we don't see everybody, you're hiding. You don't want to be seen. But it doesn't matter. We know who we are. I know who you are. Thank you for tuning in. We are going to take a break. The theme for the month is healing the past in the present. Healing the past in the present. So whatever you're dealing with, bring it now. As a matter of fact, you don't need to bring it. It's already here. Barbara said that the only place we can be awake is in the now. So now that you're awake, recognize, tap into your consciousness, shift and expand and realize, well, okay, what happened, happened. What do I want to do now? And please, for goodness sake, stop holding your future hostage. Stop holding your future hostage. Just be the change you want to see. And while you're being the change you want to see, check out Barbara's website. It is thebeamteam.com, BEAMTEAM.com. And when you get there, you'll see, well, you have a choice. You have a choice of either English or Danish. I think it's Danish. Well, if I'm wrong, then that should be comforting to those of you who think I'm just a genius. Even I make a mistake. So don't be so hard on yourself. I mean, come on. If life coach out there makes a mistake, why are you so hard on yourself? Just be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
This is Life Coach Ade, host of the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show on Life Conversations Radio. Well, you know, no matter how much you grow in consciousness, no matter how much you know, you are going to interact with other people. So what's the point of being spiritual and being enlightened without learning to get along with others? Well, that's what the show is about. On the show, I share tools and techniques and just inspire you to celebrate your relationships, to celebrate who you are, because together we make a difference. You know, we need each other. And when we unite together, we can make magic happen. We can shift our perception and create miracles in our lives. Join me every Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Ready to live in the yes? Join me, Rev D, the Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson, here Tuesday evenings, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Call in with your questions and comments as together we explore spiritual qualities and learn practical tools that unleash our spiritual power. We mix in some music, spoken word, readings, prophetic utterances. You want in on this? Living in the Yes, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Life Conversations Radio.
Are you ready to come out to play? To passionately love and appreciate who you are? Join me, Mbasa Sophia, on the playground of life, the play experience, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, where we always serve a raw, delicious smorgasbord of healing the mind, the heart, and the soul into this spectacular circle of life. Are you ready? See you on the playground. Be there or be square. The Play Experience, 7 p.m. each Thursday, here on LifeConversationsRadio.com. LifeConversations.com. Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today for Ancestral Blueprints at 12 p.m. Eastern on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your Ancestral Blueprints may still be influencing your life today, and how to bring awareness to the truths that want to be acknowledged. Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today, 12 p.m. Eastern, every last Wednesday of the month on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about life conversations.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
That is the gift. That is your choice to be the change you want to see, even if it's challenging sometimes, even if you think you're giving your best. Set the intention to say, you know what? My happiness, my peacefulness, my joyfulness, my successfulness is much more important. And it's not really about excluding others. The way it's set up, the way this universe is set up, everything is here to support us in falling deeply in love with ourselves, to come back home to ourselves. And it's all about how we look at it. It's all about how we look at it. Some experience will break you open. It's breaking you open to love. Now you can say, well, I don't believe that shit. It ain't breaking me open to shit. I just can't. Well, okay, that's fine too. That's just a perception. How dare you say that? It is. It is what you say it is. If you know what you want, usually we do. That's why we have, that's why we experience pain, because we know what we want and it feels so far away. So the conversations on Life Conversations Radio is about reminding you that you can have what you desire, what you feel in your heart. You can connect with it. You just got to be willing to do the work, even though sometimes it's scary. Sometimes it's lonely. Sometimes you're just like, I can't do this. It's part of the journey. I have my sister, my friend, Barbara Berger, joining us. And we are talking about healing the past in the present. That's the theme for the month. That's the theme for the show. And particularly, we're reminding you, supporting you to follow your inner compass, your inner guidance, your inner voice. There is a voice inside of you. There is something inside of you that knows. And we are standing for your transformation, that you may connect with that, that you may trust it and listen to it and follow its guide. It's for you, not for anybody else. Because if you start to impose your own inner compass on others and tell them how to live their life, instead of being a wonderful mother, you become a pitiful smotherer. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show on LifeConversationsRadio.com. The number is 347-426. 3346, 347, 426, 3346. We are going to continue the conversation with my sister, my friend, Barbara Berger. Her website address is beamteam.com. Check it out. Now, we want to find out when the light hit your bubble, when you just came out of that shit. You're like, oh, shifting consciousness. I didn't know this was going to happen. But now I got to listen. Oh, I'm awake now. What happened? How did you learn to tune into your inner compass?
Well, it's a really, really good question. And for me, it has been a very, very long journey. And actually, the trigger point has always been pain, actually. Pain, suffering. But I would say, actually, if I really go back to when I was very, very young, when I was a child, even I grew up in a suburb of Washington, D.C., and it was like the most boring place on earth.
D.C.? Oh, the suburb.
Yeah. No, the suburb where I grew up. It was like a cultural wasteland. It was just so, oh. And But I always knew. It was like I always felt like I was from very young age that, you know, like I was a visitor from another realm. That I always was. I didn't belong there, and they didn't. I knew from the very beginning that there was something more than this. Although I had no outer reference point, nobody telling me, no examples of. I just knew. But then I would say that when I became a teenager. My father worked in the Pentagon. That's why we lived there. And that was the time of the Vietnam War. And then when I was like 16, 17, I got this boyfriend, and he got drafted to go to Vietnam. And it was like we were against the Vietnam War. This was in the early 60s. And it was like in my own life, it was the time of the Vietnam War, the Civil Rights Movement. There were all this social change about to come about in America. And then there was the drugs. I was that generation where change had to happen. And I ran away from home when I was 18, and we were underground for almost 2 years before we ended up getting political asylum, actually in Sweden. That's how I came to Scandinavia. So at an early age, confronted with social injustice and understanding. That, I mean, it wasn't very popular in my family since my father was a very high military person in the Pentagon. Mm. The daughter ran away in protest against the Vietnam War. It was like, okay. And so
rebel with a cause.
Exactly. At a young age, and that, I mean, I was the black sheep of the family, and I never, the peace in the family never really happened again. But again, so at an early age, I was confronted with all of these different issues, and I realized, as your program says, be the change you want to see, that the only thing that I could do was to act according to what my inner compass said, and that had drastic consequences for the whole of my life. And so that was sort of the starting point, but then there were the drugs, and there was the 60s, and there was the whole thing about altering your consciousness. I mean, taking LSD, smoking dope. I mean, and then I came to Europe, where there was also really a lot of that going on, and went to the Far East. So I've been in places like Afghanistan, and so I've really traveled a lot, seen a lot of suffering, and face to face with all of these things. What is all of this about? So I would say. There were several major events, yes, but it was a constant barrage of awakening upon awakening upon awakening, and becoming more and more aware of the nature of consciousness in relationship to everything that you see happening around you. I've been interviewed for a new book that came out, which is different teachers, famous teachers in the U.S., and then me and a few other people who don't live in the U.S., where we're asked to describe, as you asked, a moment, a breakthrough moment, where you saw and experienced reality in a different way. In other words, this major shift in consciousness. And one of the events that I experience is one I tell about in this book, is when we were underground and we were running away. We were in Mexico. We had been in Europe, and we had been deported, and we'd been a lot of different places. But at this particular moment, we were on a train going up the hill to Mexico City in a third class carriage, where there were lots of peasants and poor people and chickens and goats and overcrowded, and sitting there in the middle of the night, everyone was starting to fall asleep. I suddenly had this, like, as you say, this awakening moment where there was this huge shift in my consciousness, and I experienced a kind of unity with everything that was happening to me, in me, and around me. It was like I felt that I was this all-seeing eye, that I was experiencing everything from everyone's point of view at the same time. It was this amazing oneness realization, but it's hard to even express it, because it has nothing to do with language. It's beyond language. It's beyond word, but it's an awareness. So these kind of experiences where you you could almost say you see beyond the veil. You see beyond the illusion, or you see beyond anyway what you have been programmed or indoctrinated or taught to believe is what is going on.
Yes, yes. I want to keep that theme when you talk about seeing beyond the veil. And I found that for me, that pain and suffering is a wonderful tool to help me see beyond the veil without even trying hard. Let's talk about pain and suffering. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, again, that's the only thing that motivates us. If you really look at the human condition, I mean, for example, you're a coach and I'm a coach, and I have people. I talk to people every day, and you do too. And I write books, and everyone who comes, every seeker, there's only one reason. It's because that they feel like. And I mean, the people who everything is working out for them at the moment, and everything's hunky dory, they're not the ones who come knocking on the door. And again, I know that when someone walks through my door, that whatever their crisis is, whatever their challenge is, that this is also the great golden opportunity. It is spirit. It is source calling them to go up higher. And I know that every person who comes to me, if they're willing to do the work, I can help them with the tools. I can support them. But they're the one who has to do the work. And if they're willing, that their life will never be the same again, that they will come out of whatever it is 3 months, 6 months down the road, completely transformed. And it happens before my eyes over and over and over again. I see people doing this. It's just so wonderful. So pain is the key, pain and suffering.
What do you think, what have you found that is the difference between when someone is experiencing pain, one person, or both of them can actually appreciate how intense the pain is, but person A might decide to walk through the pain, still scared, nervous, and feeling like they can do it. But person B might still say, no, it's still not it. I get it, but what about that person? What about the world? What about the government? What do you think is the difference?
Is it really
their makeup? Is it their soul makeup? Or is it just their resistance to change?
You're touching on a really, 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 really important point. The major transformation, the major shift in consciousness that's necessary here, what you see and what you're describing is, as long as the lower levels of consciousness, the basic ego mechanism is the finger is pointing outward. It's the other people's fault. It's the government's fault. It's, you know, where I brought up, my mother, my father, my whatever. It's the blame is outside. And the great transformation that happens to everyone who starts upon this pathway, and it might not be complete or 100%, but they begin to realize and accept the fact that it has something to do with what's going on inside of me.
Yes.
Instead of pointing the finger outward, finger points here, pointing back to the self. What is my role here? What is my responsibility? What have I done? In other words, I'm not talking about guilt. I'm just talking about that great shift from finger pointing outward to looking within is what self-empowerment is about. I mean, when you point the finger outward and blame others, you are actually, that's the victim mentality. You don't have any power. You're giving all your power away. So at the moment that you're willing to say, what is my role here? What can I do about it? That's the key to freedom. That's the hallelujah moment. So that is the great shift in consciousness. And once that happens, that you're willing to look within, then the sky's the limit.
I can definitely testify to that, because I know for me, the time I felt so powerless and I feel like I can't do anything, I don't know what to do, is when I feel like it's something that's happening to me. When I'm in a place where I feel like somebody else, something else, an organization has a power over me. And I've also found that when I acknowledge that, okay, all of this is going on, like for me this past few months, 3-4 months has been such a major, actually, I think this whole year really has been such a, what I call a life shift. A few months ago, I said, I'm going through a life shift. I see the things that are happening around me. There are so many things going on. I see it happening. And I can say, well, the reason that's happening is because this didn't happen. And this one, I know this has happened because that. But what I realized, like, all the things that are happening around me right now, they're simply a reflection of a life shift. And that has helped me to keep walking, to keep moving. And, you know, I've done things that give me confirmations like, listen, there's nothing you could do to avoid what you're going through right now. And sometimes I'm just like, flipping hell, enough already. Just stop it, okay? Just stop. Go find somebody else to pick on. Go find somebody your own size. And he never said, you are my size because you are me. I'm like, damn. Like, leave me alone for a minute. I'm going to sleep. I'll be there.
I hear you. Well, I think the other thing that's really, really important to remember here and to remind ourselves of here is that no matter what is going on in the external, no matter what, I mean, you know, that our experience is based on how do we actually relate to it. In other words, how do we hold it in consciousness? In other words, if you say there are the different levels of consciousness, if you go from the lowest levels, which are like apathy, depression, fear, anger, shame, pride, all these are different ways of relating to outer circumstances. And then you have courage and willingness and appreciation, acceptance, love. So regardless of what the situation is, we always have a choice. And again, the more aware we are, the more we understand we have this choice of how am I going to hold this event? In other words, am I going to hold it in, say something from the past comes up? Is it shame and blame? Is it guilt? Is it regret? Is it anger? Or is it a learning process? Is it, I have the courage to face this? Is it, I accept that this is what happened. I can learn from this. I can embrace it. I can go further. I mean, so in other words, the same exact event, the same exact circumstance, our only freedom is how do we hold it? How do we relate to it? And that choice, that determines so much. I mean, it determines, first of all, our experience, how we feel about it, but it also determines what we attract more of. So in other words, you could say, in some way you could say it's, every situation, are you problem-oriented or are you solution-oriented? I mean, in other words, well, take, for example, the outside of, I look out my window and there's a traffic accident and somebody is laying on the street hurt. And the ambulance drivers, they come and the medics, they jump out and they run over to the person. And they don't sit down and next to the person that's bleeding and say, oh, poor you. This is really a shame. It's not fair. It shouldn't have happened to you. No, they don't. They're programmed to act, and we want them to act. They take a quick look at the situation, and then they get to work to save the person's life. So it's the same with us. You know, people come in or you meet people, and they're, you know, oh, poor me, and it's just that I didn't deserve this, and it's not fair. And, I mean, you can go down that pathway, but you can also say, okay, this is what's going on now. How am I going to deal with it? What's the best possible thing I can do now? What can I learn from this? I mean, so that's every single thing.
I love the analogy of paramedics because I always use that. So I'm cracking up over here. The paramedics don't go and say, what have you done to attract this to you? It is
exactly.
You're not really in pain. You just need, you know, it's like they get the job done. And that's a consciousness that needs to be developed.
Exactly.
I want to talk about that. Yeah. But before we talk about, what were you saying?
No, I'm. That's funny that you have that example also, because it's so, when you use that example, it's so obvious to everyone. Oh, of course we want them to, you know, to act, to do something. We don't want them to sit down there and take out their handkerchief and cry and say, poor you. I mean, that would be absolutely ridiculous, right?
Can we pray
but now? That's what we actually do to ourselves. We actually do that ourselves.
Yes, yes. Well, I want us to talk about how to develop a paramedic consciousness for our soul. Not right now, but before we do that, so I've got to write that down so I don't forget. How to develop a paramedic consciousness for our soul when the soul is expanded. Ooh, that's a show right there. Oh, that's an article right now. Ooh, let me write that down. That was good. But I want to ask you, because we're talking about following your inner compass and how to listen to the voice within. And, you know, and I think if it's easy sometimes to hear this conversation to kind of go, oh, my God, this feels good. I'm inspired. And yes, but oftentimes there are some things that happen in our lives that clouds our vision or that builds wax in our inner ears. So we can't really hear what's going on. What are some of the things that get in the way where we suddenly end up not being in tune with the inner voice? And yeah, I'll just leave it as that for now.
Well, I think there's many things, but one of the things is really that we think we need other people's love and approval. That's a big one. Yeah, if you're looking for other people's love and approval, then you might as well forget it, because it's never going to happen. It's just not possible. Some people will love and approve of you, but if whatever you do, somebody's going to think it's great and somebody's not going to like it so much. I mean, that's just sort of getting real about the way things are, because every person is different and every person is coming from a different place. And so if we base our behavior on wanting other people's love and approval, it's like, forget it. It's a zoo. You're never going to, I mean, it's just an impossible task. So that one in itself, if you could just drop that, in other words, I'm not saying we shouldn't treat other people with respect. I'm not saying any of those things, but that your decisions about how to live your life, how to comb your hair, what color dress to wear, whatever it is, what job to have, if it's based on wanting other people's love and approval, you just drive yourself crazy. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is that really plays into this is also this whole super focus on materialism in our society, that that our happy life, our satisfaction, our inner peace is based on material things. You know, like if I have a big enough house or designer kitchen, or if I have the right clothes, or even in terms of our bodies, right? If I'm thin enough, fit enough, we have all of these things, these conditions that we base our happiness upon. So again, that confuses us also, because again, as I said before, happiness is an inside job. Yes. It's really not dependent on any of those things. And those things actually come as a result of doing the inside job first. You know, and then like if you get the job, great. If you don't get the job, well, something else will show up. And I mean, if I don't look like I'm 25 for the rest of my life, well, I won't. But I can still, you know, I mean, again, our ideas about what it takes are just, again, it's all screwy again. It's all backwards again. And it's not that we can't enjoy the material things. It's not that we can't enjoy the outer success. But if that's the determining factor, it's all stuff it's external. And external has nothing to do with actually who you are and how you feel. You get to decide. But you have to be aware enough to know that you get to decide.
Yes.
So that's, again, back to the waking up. I can decide, actually. Do you realize in every situation, any situation, within 10 minutes, you can change how you feel about stuff? It's so amazing to try to practice that, to try to say, you know, something happens and it makes you feel really, really shitty. You feel like shit. You feel sad, angry, depressed, whatever. And within 10 minutes, you can soothe yourself. You can say, you know, well, this is what showed up, and this is what the universe is bringing me right now. And I've gotten through so far in this thing called life, and I'm a pretty decent person, and you know, I'll probably get a handle on this one too. And you can soothe yourself, and then once you've soothed yourself and relaxed yourself a bit, then you can even move to a little bit more positive view and say, well, there's probably some valuable lesson for me in this here, and I'll probably learn something really good from this, even though right now I feel like, in other words, within 10 minutes, without changing anything in the outer, I guarantee you, if you do the inner work, you can change your experience.
Yes. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. My guest, my friend, my sister, the voice you're hearing is Barbara Berger. Her website address is Beam Team, not the Beam Team, but yeah, she's part of the Beam Team.
There's no the.
.com. And you can find out more about her work and the work she does with her son, Tim Ray, who has also been a guest on the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. And for your questions, your comments, your thoughts, you can share it in the chat room on the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show like page or call in. Prefer you call in and make sure you press one on your keypad. Barbara, as I listen to you, I'm realizing, you know, as we develop a consciousness, a paramedic consciousness, if you will, to support our soul growth, soul expansion, I think one thing that just popped up for me is it is important to remind ourselves that just because we're dealing with something today, to understand that's just what is happening, rather than saying, oh my God, this is happening again. That happened to me when I was 10. That happened to me when I was 20. Oh, I haven't mastered this. And I think if we're able to train our minds, I'm sure other people will have another way of dealing with it. If we can start looking at what is happening, in the words of Byron Katie, to say, love, just love what is. Love what is. I believe we can start the healing. Too often when something is happening now, we drag the past into what's happening now and we make it even more bigger than it is and we can't heal it. And it's like, oh, this is overwhelming. It's like, what? They just said you have to pay your bill next week. That's all. But I don't have the money now. They said pay next week. Well, I always don't have money. I've always had challenges, but it's irrelevant. You have 7 days. So I think we drag the past into the present. And we jacked up our future because we think our life is always going to look like this. How do you see it?
Well, it's that. I mean, what you're saying is that we really have patterns of thought that do not serve us. That's my way of saying what you're saying. Mm-hmm. We develop these thought patterns, and many of them are negative, and because we have to remind ourselves, again, in all of this, it's really, really important to remind ourselves to be a little bit kinder to us. And you could say that it's important to remember that as children, when we're born into these bodies, that we are consciousness, innocent consciousness, and we are programmed with the belief systems of our parents and the belief systems of our school and our neighbors and our society. And we, as small children, we don't have a truth detector. We don't have the Byron Katie ability to say, is this true? If mommy says, you shouldn't play with these people, these people are not, we believe all of that stuff. We just do, because that's the nature of consciousness in children. It's innocent. And so then we grow up and we start to realize maybe that some of our belief patterns don't serve us. But it's important to understand, even when we start doing inner work, and I say this to everyone who comes to me and also to myself, that our old belief patterns, they have so much momentum. You can't just drop your old belief patterns. So you have to sort of be spacious enough and kind enough to yourself to also recognize that, okay, so this is the old, it's like, you know, giving up smoking or giving up whatever. It's hard to do. You have these patterns, and to develop more constructive ways of looking at things, that's what spiritual practice is about. And that's hard work. That takes time and discipline. I always say to people that our old belief patterns are like the Titanic. They're like this huge ship, and it's going that way. And then suddenly you go to Coach Addy or you go to Barbara Berger, and they say, well, you really want to go that way, the opposite direction. You want to think positive. You want to, and then you say, well, yeah, I really do. That sounds really good. But you have this huge ship, this Titanic going that way, and you can't turn the Titanic around in 1 minute. You can't. It's not possible. Anybody who's ever been in a big ship knows that they really are big, and they go really, really fast, and they have lots of momentum. But you can turn this big ship little by little by little by little, a little bit every day, reminding yourself, thinking about these things, using self-discipline, and that's, again, spiritual practice. When you notice yourself thinking in your old patterns, being very negative, you can stop yourself and say, okay, now I can see I'm doing this. And then you can praise yourself for the fact that you can actually see what you're doing. Because, again, if we don't have self-awareness, if we don't see what we're doing, we can't change anything. So just the noticing, just the being aware of the fact that, oh, now my old patterns have kicked in, my old mental habits have kicked in. Just that awareness allows you to make a slight shift. And so a slight shift, you know, 30 days, 60 days, 3 months, and then suddenly the Titanic is going in the other direction. Mm-hmm. But you can't do it from one day to the other. And that's, again, where we go so wrong with ourselves, because we beat ourselves up for not doing it fast enough, for not being good enough, for not cleaning up our act fast enough, for not being these superhuman perfect creations. And so, I mean, really, honestly, the one who's beating you up the most, me up the most, it's us. We're doing it to ourselves. Nobody else is doing it. So there's a really lot of stuff involved here.
Yes, and everything in the outer world teaches us we got to do it little by little. Nature, the sun set, the sun rise, the night and day, the trees, the leaves falling off the trees. Everything is little by little, little by little. One day there's no flower. The next day there's a flower. Next day the flower's gone. Next day this has happened. Next day, you know, things are happening. We talked about the Titanic. If the Titanic was turned around just suddenly, everybody will go crazy. When you're in a plane, if you just take a left, suddenly everybody will go crazy. Like, oh, no, we can't go that direction. Turn. If you're driving a car and you're changing lane, if you just do fast, I mean, the car might flip over. Everything is little by little, a gradual in degrees until you make the change. But somehow we call forth in ourselves for some crazy reason that we must make a change and make a change right now. And the things that you said, it's like, if we learn to be more kinder, more compassionate, more loving, we actually will give ourselves the space really to just change little by little. Like, well, this is a big deal, but I've changed my mind about it. This is a big deal, but I'm willing to forgive myself. This is a big deal. I'm now journaling. This is a big deal. I'm now meditating. What's a big deal? Oh, I remember when I was dealing with that. Oh, was it a big deal? Why was it a big deal? I don't even remember now, but it's like I really feel like part of the healing as well is slowing down, and being honest with oneself. Just slow it down. Because when we slow down, we welcome ourselves back home and we can really hear the voice of spirit.
It's the healing process. There's nothing more important than that. And sometimes people come to me and they say, oh, I really just want to, you know, they started doing this inner work and they feel overwhelmed and tired. I really just want to lay in bed all day. And I said, well, do it. Lay in bed for a few hours until you're so bored of laying there, you'll want to get up. But give yourself, you know, a little space and a little time to breathe and to feel and to nurture yourself. And, I mean, it comes back to our whole society is so outer focused and you got to be productive and efficient all the time, and it's like, no way. I mean, that's the fastest way to kill any kind of self-empowerment, self-creativity, because really reality is a sort of activity and rest. I said dynamic activity and then peace, and so that the soul can catch up and that you can catch up and that you are you and that you have the time to feel. I have written a book called Gateway to Grace, and the start of the first sentence was, take the time and make the space to go within and feel the grace. I mean, it's like, yes. It's all good. And when we do it, when we look at it like that, it's all good. It's all part of the process. It's all the gift of life to us. It's all the evolution of the soul. And since we're immortal beings, we're going to go on forever. And this is just one part of our journey. In other words, to soothe ourselves in that way. What happens when we do that? That's when the magic actually happens, because we make the time. We create the space for the voice of spirit, the inner compass, the God within us, the kingdom of heaven is within us.
The kingdom of heaven is within.
To make it apparent. So, oh, it's lovely talking to you, my friend.
It is. I just feel like I've meditated over it. It's like, you know, we started with all the energy at the beginning and we all go around our office. Like, you go to a club and the music is loud and you're like, hey, how you doing? It's nice to see you. And then at the end, they slow the music down. And they're like, oh, that was so great. That's how I feel. Before you go, I want to ask you this. This is a quote that I've heard many times and it is in a book, because it speaks to this whole thing about busyness and going within, from A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. And I just feel led to share it with you. I want to hear your thoughts on it. So the quote is, the reason so many of us are obsessed with becoming stars is because we are not yet starring in our own lives. The cosmic spotlight isn't pointed at you. It radiates from within you.
Beautiful. So true. Yeah. You are the happiness. You are the peace. You are the love that you seek. It's all us. We are what we are seeking. And so our fascination, our addiction to the outer is actually what has confused us and has misled us, you could say. I mean, I like to say it's like you or I, or we are the radiance of the sun to begin with. That's our nature, divine love, the divinity that we are. That's us. And then all of these mistaken beliefs, this identification with the material things and other people's love and all that, that's like the clouds that are blocking our experience. I mean, the radiance, the sun is always there, but our experience of it is blocked by these mistaken beliefs. Mm-hmm. And so our work is not to create the radiance, the divinity. Our work is to unlearn, deprogram all the belief systems that are blocking us from experiencing our own divinity. We are it. Mm-hmm. And so the moments that we feel the grace, the moments we do have, everyone has glimpses of it, you know, that connection. But it's us. It's us. We're it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for this journey, my sister. Thank you this circle of healing. I so love you. I appreciate you. And so grateful for the work you're doing in the world. And you bless me. You add to my life. And it's such a... I don't even have the words to be able to have this conversation with you, knowing that people are listening and shifting them. I feel so humbled. I feel full. And I thank you for just who you are. And thank you for our connection.
Thank you, my friend, my brother, my soulmate. Thank you so much, too, for having me. And God bless you. And God bless your wonderful work. And you can invite me back anytime.
Oh, you know that's already done. You're already in the house. You're in the house. You're just in another part of the mansion. You just walk in. It's like, come on in, Barbara. Yeah, sure. You don't even ask. Can I have some of this? Just go in there and dip your hand in it. Give my love to Tim as well.
Yes, I will. Yeah. Thank you. God bless. Love you.
God bless. Love you too. Life is good. It's getting better. And I'm so full and I'm so grateful. And I pray and declare and stand with you all that you find what it is that makes you come alive, what it is that gives you meaning, what it is that reminds you, as Barbara said, that you are the radiance of the sun already, that you are part of the beam team already, that you have all that it takes, that you are it. And it doesn't matter. It really does not matter if you're in pain. It doesn't. What matters is your state of being. Your pain doesn't matter. State of being matters.
Play with that for a minute. It's your state of being that's going to create the matter that you want to see in the world. So whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is, understand that underneath that, beneath that, there's something more. There is something more. There's always something more. Now you have a role to play. If you're going to continue to look at what's not working, if you're going to focus on what you think is a weakness about you, that's your choice. However, bear in mind, be aware in mind that whatever you focus on a consistent basis, you are going to see. Let's forget attracted to you. You are going to see it. If I have you say, wherever you are now, look for everything in your room, in wherever you are, in the car, in the bus, at your work. Look, focus on things. Look at things that are blue. Just take a note, mental note. Don't write them down. What's in the room there that's blue? Go through maybe something in your computer, maybe something on your shelf, maybe something on your wall. All the blue things. Maybe so I see the sky. Now, if you really want to do it, if you really want to dance with this exercise, close your eyes. Close your eyes. And then tell me how many things you can come up with that's yellow. Don't open your eyes. Keep it closed. And try and pull it back. Pull back what's in the room, in the car, in your office, in your cubicle, where you are right now. There's yellow. Now you can do mental games like, I'm going to sense it intuitively. No. Intuition is great. You must also give your human self space to just show up. And if you did the exercise, you will recognize that it's a lot harder to remember or to know what was yellow because your focus was on blue. You can open your eyes and look. Well, you can say, well, nothing in this place is yellow. Well, you didn't know that. You were thinking about it. But maybe there is, you just haven't seen it. What am I talking about? You see what you focus on. It's a gift that the universe instilled in us. So the whole thing about miracles, a miracle is a shift in perception. Impossible, you know, they play around even in the word impossible. Oh, you know, we say something is impossible. See how schizophrenic humans can be. We say, oh, that's impossible. That's impossible. But same people, same race of people would say, all things are possible. Well, which one is it? To a child, dad, 1 minute you said it's impossible, but I heard you talk to a friend of yours and say, all things are possible. Which one is it? Is it impossible or is it possible? You are the possibility of God. And, you know, if you want to feed your addiction by focusing on what's not working, if you want to feed an addiction by making excuses, if you want to feed your addiction by going, but, good luck. Who we are to each other is to help each other recognize our own individual path. And sometimes you help others be on their path in the most painful way. Or maybe others helped you be on your path in the most painful way. Pain. P-A-I-N. Pay attention inward now. We have all that we need. And if you want to keep focusing on it, but get your butt out of the way and just claim that, yes, I hear that, but this is what comes up for me. This is what I feel about that. Not so much the but where you're not moving forward to discredit what you say you know to be true. You can't discredit something that you know to be true. If you're discrediting it, you don't believe it. Because you can really know the truth and still be afraid. Oh, that's something to think about. You can know the truth I'm talking truth, like intellectually. You know that, yes, you know, love is powerful. The big compassion makes people feel better. And your mind says, but people might take my compassion for weakness. Where is that a reason for you not to do it? Is that a reason for you not to be compassionate? You get to choose. And whatever you choose is perfect. You're not right. You're not wrong. So how do you heal the past and the present? By listening to your inner voice, by listening, by following your own inner compass. Like right now, what do I feel like doing? And the truth is, when you listen to that inner voice, that inner guide, the God within, the God without, you're going to do things that people will say to you, why are you doing that? It won't even make sense to you sometimes. If you're saying yes to God, if you're saying yes to the truth, if you want to learn, sometimes you're going to do some things where you say, well, if I tell people, they're going to think I'm crazy. Sometimes you don't know what the flip is going on. But as long as you are listening, it will stretch you. It will stretch you. Healing will stretch you. And the truth is, you don't stretch and become something that you're not. You actually get stretched and become something that you already are. So in a way, thinking of Ricky's song, the Agape Choir, Return to Me, you're returning to yourself. You're turning that Titanic little by little, little by little, little by little, and then you are facing your true north. It's like, ah, go somewhere and look at the ship turning around. It's slow. Sometimes you don't even know it's happening. If you've been on a cruise, it's just real slow. If you're on it, you may feel that, oh, it's turning, but it's still this sort of real slow. When the plane is turning, you don't really know, because sometimes you don't even have a reference point, because it's just space. It's just space out there. Unless you can see something down in the ground, I guess. Yeah, looking down, you see a building, a sign, and you see it's turning to the right. So, but if it's just out there, you don't even know. Look at the globe. Look at the world. It's a circle. We say Australia's down under. The plane never flies in a straight line, like just to where the mind thinks of a straight line. Be kinder. Be compassionate. Be loving. And know that the healing you desire is right here, right now. And if you can't find anybody to support you on the journey, be your own support. Be your own paramedic. Until you get some more help. Until you get back up. We need each other. And together we're going to heal the past and the present as we continue to follow our inner compass. Listen to the inner voice, that our internal guidance system. I'm going to be on 1-2 Radio tomorrow, 1-2radio.com for soul food for your consciousness. So join me. It's 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The shows are archived just like this one. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for moments like this. It doesn't really matter what I'm doing next. Right now, I'm just drinking it all in. And I want you to know that I love you, that I bless you, I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. And I want to be the voice of your consciousness, the voice of your soul, the echo of your soul. And remind you that you are really loved already. You are God light. You are the ocean and a drop. You may not be able to create a tsunami in your world, but when you join forces with other drops, other droplets, oh, there's power. You create a tsunami in politics. You create tsunami in the food industry. You create a tsunami in your community. Be loved, be true to yourself, and for goodness sake, be loved. And find me at 1-2listen.com right after the show. And if you're interested in coaching, ask, ASK at lifecoachada.com. ASK at lifecoachada.com. This is Troy Horn, God Light. Find him on iTunes or troyhorn.com. I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. Continue to shine, and remember, you're part of the Beam Team. Beamteam.com if you need some help. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings. Some say they want my soul. All of this doom and gloom is getting kind of old. See, life is precious, gone in a flash. You better learn to celebrate it while it lasts. See, I don't know what you come to do, but I'ma live my life until my life is through.
As I'm lost in my renaissance, flow shed this light, let it glimmer on souls. When it all falls, let it simmer on hope. Just yesterday, I was blue holding in my head, living in a world with so much death. I just wanna live with no regrets. Golden sunlight, the soldier's young mind is morning gunfights and running for one time. I love the night, but I prefer the dawn. When the city yawns, have no pity on me. Won't be long before I pass the torch. Craft the future in my fragile palm. To hand it down, you are the last resort, and through you, I live on.
Got the sun in your sky, your future's
so bright.
And no matter what I hear about the
dark night,
I know that everything around me is
perfect.
Alright,
I look into your eyes,
I see your
heart. It's so bright, the sun in the sky, your future's
so bright.
No matter where you go, everybody's
dark night.
We all should come together.
Sing it, sing it.
Sun in your
smile,
so bright. And no matter what I hear about the dark night,
I know that everything around me is perfect. All right.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about Life Conversations.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.